Today we want to focus more on the people who are people of hope. And let me tell you just a little bit about where this title comes from, and immediately, I'm glad you're right across from me, I'm going to speak up so that everyone here can be included, which is a main thing that we try to do among people of hope. Well, the title for this session, The Church Where Anyone Can Go. I want to say right off the bat that that is not to say that people of hope has no standards, because the gospel is our standard, and we invite anyone to hear that gospel and respond to the gospel as God works in their life. So I want to say right off the bat that that title can sound a little bit like we will take anyone, but it's not to imply that there are no standards, because the gospel is that. Now, where that title came from, Pastor Gary was visiting with somebody that doesn't live right in Rochester, but is in the Rochester area, and in the course of the conversation, it came out that he was a pastor, and they asked him, "Where are you a pastor?" And he said, "People of Hope," and the person said to him, "Oh, I've heard of People of Hope. Isn't that the church where anyone can go?" And we kind of chuckled, because isn't that what we'd all like to say about our churches? Isn't that invitation something that we would want people to know? I remember putting the very first brochure together for People of Hope to begin knocking on doors with, so that we'd have something to hand to people. And I remember struggling with, how can we communicate this is open to the public? And having been in the church my whole life, it suddenly struck me that although all of our churches are open to the public, too often we don't conduct our churches as if that were the case. Too often we conduct our churches so that those who know they're part of the flock will come, and forget that this business of being a Christian in the world is a very personal thing. It's a personal relationship with God, but it's not a private matter. It's a public matter. It's a matter of entering together into community with other Christians and then being Christ to the world. We're called to make a difference through the gospel and in its proclamation. So it's not a private matter, it's a public matter, and every worship service of every church we should go into that with the mentality that this is an open to the public event. And when you do that, certain things happen, certain things where we begin to break down that business of the arrows pointing in toward ourselves, and we begin to turn those arrows around and point them out from ourselves. Well, I promised People of Hope that they could speak, so I just have a couple more things that I want to say. I want to tell you how People of Hope got its name, because that sort of tells you that from the very beginning, this was a grassroots endeavor. We were commissioned by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to be what's called the mission developers, or pastor developers, for this new congregation. And one of the fun things that a pastor developer gets to do right off the bat is come up with the name for this church. And what we decided to do was to let Rochester come up with the name for this church. So we kind of knew what we wanted to call this new congregation, and the name we had kind of picked out was New Song.
You like that one too? I thought I was the only one to like it.
From the scripture that talks about sing to the Lord a new song, because of Gary's expertise and interest in music, and because we had hoped, as happened, the Spirit moved other wonderful musicians to join us. we knew that music was going to be a basic part of this new outreach, so we kind of thought the name New Song was neat. However, we came up with five names, and they were, help me remember if I can't remember them all, Gary, New Song, People of Hope, Celebrate,
Spirit of Joy,
Spirit of Joy,
Dumpster Juice,
and Rejoice. And then what we did is we printed those five names really large on four pieces of paper, put each of those pieces of paper on a clipboard, and then Gary got a companion, and he headed with his companion and his clipboards to downtown Rochester. I got a companion, Suzanne Vicks, who spoke at our first session, and she and I went to the post office, and we polled people. We polled the people of Rochester as they came to the post office and as they were walking downtown, and we turned the clipboard toward them, and we said, we're starting this new church in Rochester, Minnesota here, and we would like your opinion of these five names. Which one sounds most inviting? And before we headed out, we prayed about it, that the Spirit of God would move this whole procedure toward the name that we should come up with. And so, talk about terrifying to walk up to people that are dashing into the post office. But people were wonderful. And they gave us their votes, and the four of us reconvened back at our house and tallied it up. And People of Hope won hands down. That was clearly the people's first choice. And guess what came in dead last?
New song.
Talk about our finger on the pulse. Yeah.
And so we prayed again, and we said, Lord, thank you. This must be the name that this new church is to have. And so we went forward, and I have thanked God over and over and over again for that name. Because this really is the work of all of these people that are sitting here. Courageous people. I mean, there are seven beautiful, just fantastic other ELCA Lutheran churches in Rochester. And all of these people, if they could wanted to join a Lutheran church, could have joined any one of those seven. Here they choose to join up as member missionaries of this new church that doesn't even have the facilities that those other seven enjoy. And I really believe that the Spirit of God has brought each of them to People of Hope. And I know, just by knowing these folks that are here, that they take this calling very seriously. The last thing I'm going to say is that one newcomer who recently started worshiping with People of Hope said to me, you know why I came? She said, I saw your signs, and things are so messed up in my life right now, and I am so unsure of everything. But when I saw your sign, I realized there are two things that I need. I need people, and I need hope. And she said, if I can come and find people of hope right here in this community, this is what I need. Some people come out of need. Some people come out of, as I said, a calling. I've asked the People of Hope here to reflect on three things and share those things with you. How did they first hear about People of Hope? Why did they come? Why did they stay and become member missionaries? How did they first hear? Why did they come, and why did they stay? And my hope is that we can talk very seriously here about the reality that churches aren't built by pastors. Churches are built by God, but the real work of getting that news out is done by the people. And the real mission that any church can accomplish is done by the people. And so I applaud you, People of Hope, because I see you as people of great courage. And I know you to be that, and people of vision, and people with your story. So, who wants to go first?
Oh, I can go first.
Okay.
No, the first question was...
You want to say your name, just your first or both?
Yeah. Kirsten, my name is Kirsten. Mm-hmm. And I heard of People of Hope through my parents. This is my mother here. And I also have belonged to the church that Gary and Mary Sue were preaching at previously. And so I heard them before. And so I gave it a try, and I gave it another try. And then I got hooked, big time. Got really hooked, and I stay because I'm addicted to it. It's great. It's a very relaxing environment. It's very casual. Or you can dress up. You know, you can feel comfortable wearing anything you want, which was a big thing to me. I hated getting dressed up on Sunday. The people are just great. They're very warm and welcoming, and the music is out of sight. It's fun, and it just lifts your spirit. You just walk out of there on your toes. It's great. And also, it's helped me to be much more involved in the community. We're very involved with many community organizations and different things, the Women's Shelter, Habitat for Humanity, and the list goes on. And it's just been a bunch of people that I feel very comfortable working with and doing that. So it's been a great experience for me, and I just don't want to give it up. Don't take it away from me.
You know? Don't worry.
It's addicting.
Well, I'm Deborah, and I was searching for a new church because our church had gotten so large, and we had just didn't feel what we needed. We weren't getting what we felt we needed from the church, and so we had stopped going for quite a while. And so I was looking through the newspaper, and I looked through all the church ads, and I saw People of Hope and decided, well, I think I want to try this church.
And why that one? Why did it really?
The name struck me.
The name
struck me, and so I had gone, and then I invited my neighbor to go with me. And so I went back a couple times, and it was the place I needed to go. I felt so welcome when I walked in there, and everyone just kind of opened their arms to you, and I just saw all the people working together, and it told me I needed to be there. And I got involved in the church then, doing more in the church, volunteering in the church, and I feel like I am a part of all the building of that church by just being there. And it's just such a good feeling every Sunday. But now I'm fishing in the summer, and I've been missing church with them.
But that's your family's routine. Yeah. But I think Deborah demonstrates why we call ourselves member missionaries, because immediately she invited Jan, and we see that dominoes effect in churches in general, but we have also seen that among People of Hope.
We kind of watched all the things that we've done to see what brings people through the door. For the pastors to go out knocking on doors randomly in the neighborhoods is not very effective. The single most effective thing is when People of Hope, who are already a part of People of Hope, invite a friend. That is far and away the single most effective way that we have done evangelism. And it's almost like if I come knocking on the door and I'm a pastor, you expect that I'm going to be pushing God because that's my job. You expect that maybe I have some self-interest in it. and you don't know me, and I could be some cult leader, who knows? But if somebody who's a friend of yours, whom you trust, says, I found something or a place of worship that makes sense, please come with me, that makes a whole lot more sense. And I promise I won't talk too much here, but we call our members member missionaries because in Ephesians it says that the job of the leaders of the church is to equip and empower, I don't think he uses the word empower, that's my word, equip the saints. Excuse me, that is to say that all of us, no matter where we are at in our communities, are the missionaries. And the job of the pastor is not to be necessarily the frontline missionary so much as the one, I think, who enables and empowers and equips the saints for their mission work. It isn't that I don't tell people about People of Hope, but the most effective the most effective missionaries that we have are not the pastors, I think. Anybody have a read on that? Are you mad? I know. That's why I was just joking with her.
Well, I would like to follow Deborah's by saying that when I first went to People of Hope, the first Sunday that I went, when we walked out, we kind of looked at each other and she said, what did you think? And I said, well, it was kind of like a combination between maybe a Lutheran and a Baptist, because I love that music. I love the music. So then I had this big decision, and I was not a regular member of the church that I was a member, I mean a regular attendant of the church I was a member of. So about three Sundays in a row, I went to People of Hope early service, and then I went to my church for the late service. And after two Sundays, I think I knew that I was going to go with People of Hope. And on the third Sunday, it was definite. And there's a love there that you just feel, not just on Sundays, but when you're with these people. It's a love I never felt before with communicating with the members. And I'll never leave.
This is just good to hear.
Seems like we're kind of going in an order, so I'll follow Jan. And
but we are.
Yeah.
You kind of are.
I'm
Michonne.
I'm Michonne. I'm sorry. My son Stephen. I had a bad experience. I was raised in the Catholic Church and just had some not great experiences in my early adulthood. And so I decided I was never going to join a church. I was never going to go to any church. I was never going to baptize my son. I was never going to make him go to confirmation. Never, 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 never. Churches. I was done. I was through. You know, I still had a belief in God, but I felt no reason to ever go to church again. And my neighbor and very, very good friend, Kirsten, nagged me for a long time. She would come home on Sundays and she'd say, Michonne, you just gotta try this. You know, you're really gonna like it. You just need to go try it. And quit nagging me. I'm never gonna do that, you know? And so I went to church a couple Sundays, and I am now a member missionary of People of Hope. In April, my son and I both joined, and my son goes to confirmation now, and all these nevers have really turned me around. And I think what Mary Stewart talked about earlier about a flock, and I think there was a long time I searched for my flock. I searched looking for where I belonged. Which flock of sheep I needed to go with, to be moving with. And I found that at People of Hope, and I've visited churches kind of off and on, but I never felt the way
I felt when I go to church, when I go to People of Hope, and when I leave there. So, and Stephen wanted to say a few words.
I went to People of Hope. Actually, for a while, I was going to another church with my dad. I went to a small church, and I really enjoyed going to smaller churches. And I heard about People of Hope from Mom, and I heard it's a small church, and I loved. I mean, I like going there because you know people, and you can talk to people when you need help. And I went there. I really liked the services because. Gary and Mary Sue are very funny. They
one on purpose, one by accident.
And I like how they add personal stories or just stories they hear into the sermons. And the children's program was really good because there wasn't many people, and I could go there and talk to people, make a lot of friends, and. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Stephen. That's hard as a kid to speak in a group of just adults. So
I asked her to speak. Yeah. Like, why not? Cool. Yeah.
Like a cool kid to people.
You guys are honorary members, you know. You can at least say that.
What'd you say?
Well, if we go on around the circle, we seem to come to Judy.
Well, I just want to point out that my friend Marge came, and she's honorary now, member of People of Hope, and so is Bernice, who's Deborah's mother and Jenna's grandma. So we're just real thrilled to have them with us.
Okay.
And part of the family. Nice. I've known Gary and Mary Sue since 1992 because we worked together as co-workers in Christ. No, you came in 88.
You came in 88, right?
88. At Bethel, they were there for 4 years where I work. And I can still remember my mother saying,
"You left Bethel?"
They were just, I mean, even my brother, who doesn't really attend church much in Chicago, was shocked. It was never my intention to change churches. I went out of curiosity and out of friendship. I wanted to go see how Gary and Mary Sue were doing, how the church was doing. I'd heard a lot of good stuff. I'd heard a lot about the music, which excited me. So my husband and I, well, I went, actually, my husband and my son had gone down to St. Louis to a wedding. And so I thought, well, this is a good time. I'll go by myself. And I went and I was like, oh yeah, like this. Loved the music. I mean, my toes were dancing, you know. And so I went home, and when Art got home, I said, "You got to come with me next weekend." So we went again, and he was attracted to it also, and probably not as much as I was. He was more of a traditionalist, shall we say, but he enjoyed it. And of course, he loved Gary and Mary Sue. And Then, as time went on, it became more and more apparent to me that this is where I needed to be. And I told Art, I said, if you want to stay at Bethel, that's fine. Because we do have two services at People of Hope, and it would have worked out that we could have gone like to Bethel at 8:30, could have gone to People of Hope at 10:30, no problem. And he said, no, whither thou goest, I shall go. So he started going with me. And I got involved in the music program, as I've said before, and absolutely love it. We have a gal who is just unbelievable, who is our music director. She's an African-American gal, and she has transformed even my feeling toward music. When I first started singing with Spirit of Joy, she said, it was pretty traditional. I mean, we were just working our way into this. And she kept saying, you're going to feel the music. You're going to feel the music. You're going to start adding things. And that's what we do. And sometimes, as Gary can speak to, she can't control us. We're gone and out of there. And she'll go, no, let's go back to the music line here. But, you know, it's just this whole sense of the Spirit working in all of us. I've never been to choir rehearsals, and we don't even call them that. We just get together and rehearse, where there's so much joy. You know, everybody just really wants to be there, and they enjoy what they're doing. And I can't imagine being anywhere else. My husband died on Saturday, June 1st, last year. And the next day, I went to Bethel at 8:30.
and went to People of Hope at 10:30, and I sang with Spirit of Joy, and someone said, how could you do that? And there's a song that I just started singing, Draw Me Into Your Presence, that has a line that says, where else where would I go? And that was my line that day, is where else would I have gone? I couldn't imagine not being with my family at that time. And so they have surrounded me and helped me through some bad times, but there's been an awful lot of good times too. So I just, like the others, I can't imagine not being there. And on Sunday morning, if I can't be there, I'm fidgety. I want to be there, even if I'm out of town, you know. So it's been a treasure for me.
For me, I've often thought, as pastor, Mary Sue and I don't know, we might end up staying at People of Hope till retirement, but it's likely we won't be here, all that long at People of Hope. At that, in retirement, we've said that we want to be here at least 10 years at People of Hope. But I can't imagine where I'd go either at this point in time, because I don't know of any, and this maybe kind of plugs into Friday's session, I don't know of another place where the style of worship we do is all that welcomed, or whether that's the driving force. But that'll be our discussion on Friday, the style of worship and kind of music. A question, may I say something at this point? A question that I have is that at this point in People of Hope's history, I have gotten the feedback from people who come that it's a very welcoming place and a non-judgmental place. And I'm still amazed at that woman who out of the blue said, oh, that's a place where anybody can go. And I know that some people have come to People of Hope because other churches have made them feel like they somehow didn't make the grade. Maybe this would be helpful for all of us to talk about, unless this gets us too far from our topic. I can't quite put my finger on that. How does a church ever communicate to somebody that they're sort of second class in any kind of way, or not good enough? Why is it that People of Hope right now doesn't seem to be doing that? What do we have to watch out for as People of Hope? In 5 or 10 years, will we be like that? Where we'll be somehow secretly communicating that you're not quite good enough? Am I making any sense? What is it? How do we as a people of God communicate to people that this is a place anybody can come? That there are no, this is a place for all of us. Any responses to that?
Before we do that, let me just check with you, Jenna. Huh? Jenna, did you want to say anything to these people about what you like about People of Hope? Did you have something you wanted to say? You don't have to.
I like it.
You like it?
Good. Yeah.
We like having you with us, don't we?
Yeah.
And I wanted to continue on around to you, Bobby. You got a chance to tell some of your story the other day, but if there was anything else that you wanted to add, particularly this afternoon, that...
Well, actually, I can kind of go into Gary's question.
Okay, good.
And that was, it wasn't really what you would call a congregational meeting. It was the congregational picnic. And they passed around something, you know, what would you like to do, or what do you think needs to be done? And I said, I thought we needed a church directory, and I would help. Guess who became chairman? But anyway, we discovered that it was a great evangelism tool. Because we don't have, in the first place, we don't have an office per se. We don't have a paid secretary. We have absolutely no paid office staff. We have volunteers, but they about volunteer for the bulletin. One types up the roster and things like that, but nothing was not a real continuity just because there isn't the staff and there isn't the facilities that other churches have. But anyway, we started asking people if they wanted a directory and so on, and what it turned out to be is that there are people that are coming to People of Hope, are not member missionaries, but want their name in the directory. They said, well, sure, put us down. You know, we're not member missionaries, but we come there quite often. So put our name down. So we just, it was fun calling people, which we had to do. We had to call everybody to verify, and we also let them know that they did not have to have their name in or phone number. We respected their privacy, but a lot of them wanted their name in, even though they're not member missionaries, but maybe they will be.
So why do you say it was, I know what you mean by an evangelism tool. Can you expand on that a little?
In the first place, there was contact with each person, and then as you talk to the people, most often said something about, you know, that they liked coming to People of Hope, and then it was kind of fun because of the names. I mean, we have a lot of, married couples, but each of them wanted their own name, and I don't know how the directory company's going to go with this, but we're trying to pull it off. Just a lot of individuality on how they wanted their names in the directory. And it was just a lot of fun talking with people, and everybody was so responsive to the call. Michonne was one of the callers too, and everybody was very responsive. And I think it was a connection that,
a welcoming connection, no hoops to jump through, and it was a time for them to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't come Monday, so I hope I'm not
doing
something.
No problem.
And I'm not quite sure what the purpose of the session is, but what I hear you saying is really exciting. So I guess for those of us that are in Washington or Texas, and you're saying you're the only church doing the new music, is there a way that this is reaching out to other Lutheran ministers? Are you publishing a book? Are you keeping a journal and saying this is working really well? How can we use, you obviously can't go all over the country and be our minister, so how can we use what you're doing to maybe liven up some of our own congregations, I guess, is kind of the question. Or is there, how are the other seven churches looking at you? Are you the outcasts, or are you just a different, you know what I mean? I'm just curious about all that.
That's a good question.
It is, and getting back to the purpose of this session, I think one purpose that I think is good for all of us in this room is to be asking ourselves, what is God calling us to be? What is God calling us to do in our own places where we are planted right now? And the beauty of hearing the stories of People of Hope are these are people with one story. We could actually just go around this whole circle and hear everyone's stories, because God is at work in our lives. God is faithful to that promise. Now, regarding the uniqueness of what we do, there are Lutheran churches that are doing the kinds of outreach that we do, and more of the informal kinds of worship. In Rochester, ours is unique in its informality, that we still follow the same flow of the worship service, but we don't use the green current hymnal of the ELCA Lutheran Church, and we've dispensed with the sort of the Lord be with you, the rote response, and also with you, let us pray kinds of things. Some of the other churches in Rochester are absolutely phenomenal in their use of liturgy and of traditional music. Full-time youth directors too. They say to us that we are here with a unique mission, and they say to us, you are reaching people we aren't. And therefore, they have been 100% supportive of People of Hope. Because we need all. We need all of us. People of Hope went through an interesting juncture when we went from one service to two services. Because then the immediate question became, oh, are you going to start doing now one more traditional worship service as well as the one more informal and contemporary? And we prayed about it and talked about that and realized they can go to any one of those other seven for very fine liturgical Lutheran worship. Ours is still the basic shape of the liturgy, as I said before, but with a more informal touch. And although some of the other churches are doing some more different services, like once a month or twice a month or something, we are doing it
every Sunday, consistently,
and we decided that that unique contribution, we would offer it twice a Sunday, not just once, because that is our work, that is our outreach, and it didn't make sense to duplicate what they're doing while obviously people were drawn by what we're doing. So,
in terms of our being like offering teachers, being like teachers to the wider community, I think that one of the difficulties is that every setting is unique, and what might work in one setting doesn't always work in another setting. And we are not on a national level, even though maybe there aren't that many churches like this percentage-wise, there are other people who are doing what we're doing. What I would suggest for you is to, are you Lutheran?
I'm Lutheran,
ELCA?
And I keep going to these other churches to try, you know, because I like the music part, uh-huh. And then they start doing stuff that I don't like, they come back to Lutheran. But there's so many people that are in the congregations that I'm involved in that are saying this is what we want.
Yeah.
And we don't know where to go to get it, I guess.
In terms of the specific for music, we'll talk a lot about that on Friday.
Okay.
That's going to be the shape of the worship and the music. We'll be talking together on Friday if you can still be here. In the meantime, call the ELC office in Chicago for the Division for Outreach. They might have some ideas. Or if it would be of help, pass our names along to your pastor. We'd be willing to help in whatever way we can. But there are some things out there. I think you, ma'am, had your hand.
I want to ask you something. How long has the People of Hope been ministering?
We've been worshiping since the last Sunday in January, 1994.
Oh.
So we're moving into our fourth year.
And you have how many worshiping with you?
About last year we averaged 144 people a Sunday.
I think that's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally believe, this is my personal belief, that anyone who preaches the Word of God should be welcome. And please don't feel like you're second class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. Anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Second class because of being new, you mean? Or what did you mean by please don't feel like we're second class?
Well, he mentioned that, not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said he wondered why
people
look down at you. You're not, you know, teaching our literature. I mean, well, yes, you're Lutherans,
yeah.
But you're different Lutherans,
mm-hmm.
which I think is fine.
Thank you. And it is the case that I think some Lutherans maybe raised an eyebrow because we don't worship like that.
Which I'm one of them.
but I think that, and that's again something we'll talk about on Friday, is that the notion of old theology and new music, that we don't change what we're about theologically. Yeah.
We're Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I think is helpful to think about is we are all of our churches are mission churches. We are all on a mission field when we step our toe outside our church door. This is not a Christian nation. That terminology never really did apply, but we are a very spiritually pluralistic culture. And when any of us is in the workplace, in the grocery store, wherever, there are many, many, many people around us who, for one reason or another, have not chosen to be part of a Christian church or maybe even know the gospel at all. And so we are all missionaries. And I think what's fun is, in the context of hearing stories, is for each of us, people who are part of People of Hope, as well as you who represent other churches, to be asking ourselves, what do we need to be doing? What is God calling us to be in this new time? And the reason that with seven other ELCA churches in Rochester that the church commissioned yet another one is because the formal church has learned a long time ago that fresh outreach to other folks happens best when you start from scratch. But we're not starting from scratch anymore. We're 4 years old. And so to go back to Pastor Gary's question, one for all of us to ponder is, how do we stay on the mission field, each of us? How do our churches begin to do the kind of outreach that, by definition, you know, we have to do at the beginning of a mission church, but now 140, 150 people on a Sunday is a fairly large worshiping community in the context of a lot of churches. How do we all, what is our calling? What's going on in our culture? What do we need to be doing out there? And hearing these stories helps us to see how does, you know, God's gathering people all the time from different places, and that's God at work, doing what God does best again, giving us good news and inviting us into community. But
it's almost like a marriage, you know, you have to spark it up, probably not you guys, but you know, yeah, I have to spark it up every once in a while, and I think what I'm finding is the traditional Lutheran church, which I love, I was raised, and you know, all that stuff.
Me
but,
too.
Is getting a little stagnant and needs to be addressing. My kids don't want to go to church. I have little kids, and that makes me sad, you know? I mean, we need to be looking at the whole picture, and that's why if something's working, you know, to get it out for more choices, I guess. You know, for the traditionalists, there's the traditionalists, and for the non-traditionalists, you know, there's some choices.
Two-part question, if I could. One, to some of the members of People of Hope, if the powers that be in the Lutheran Church suddenly plucked these two out and said, we need them in Kenya, what would the church be like? How would it be different? How would it be same? And number two, with the success that you've had, with all the spirit and joy that you're showing here, why would you not spend 5 years setting it up and then spend your time going out and setting up
on it again?
Yeah, not exactly again, but you use the tools.
That's an excellent response to that. The first question.
Hopefully, because we are Christ-centered, that
you know, even though, I mean, I've been through a lot of pastors at Bethel. They come and they go. And I love each and every one of them, and so does the congregation. And it's sad and it's hard. But I would hope that our focus would be on Christ, not on Gary and Mary Sue. It's not Gary and Mary Sue's church. It's Christ's church. And my home church is Mount Olivet, Minneapolis. And when Reuben Youngdahl died, I know that the feeling was at the time, oh boy, now what's going to happen? You know, the church is going to go, because he built it up. And he was Mount Olivet. But it is as strong as it was years ago, and even stronger now. And I would hope that that's what would happen with People of Hope, that we're there not to worship anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that would be our basis. And even though we probably tie them to a chair and tell them, no, they have to stay, that's what happens in a church. And I mean, from experience, I know that now most pastors stay 5 to 7 years in a pastorate. And that's about how long it is. And it's
well, actually,
scary.
The average is probably less than that, isn't it?
Well, that's what I...
You've heard 5 to 7 is the average?
5 to 7, yeah.
Okay. Other...
Look, I just want to piggyback on that. I think in most mission church settings, there is how to say this. Objectively speaking, there is sometimes more pastor loyalty to the pastor in a mission setting than in other settings because of the newness and all of that. And I think that if Mary Sue and I were to be in a car crash tomorrow, first of all, the ELCA doesn't do that. We're still at this point, and I don't know how long it'll be. The congregation has the power. So as long as Mary Sue and I want to stay there, and we do, we're not about to leave soon. But let's focus, Gary. One of the things that I sometimes pause about is that in the ELCA, there aren't just a whole lot of pastors who don't like getting dressed up in the gowns on Sunday. And there aren't... there aren't a whole lot of pastors at this point who are geared for the style of worship that People of Hope does. I remember taking a couple, Charles and Frances wanted to go up to the Twin Cities to see the Lutheran Seminary because they were thinking they wanted to maybe to go in that direction. And so we got this tour of the campus, and one of the students turned to me and said, oh good, you're a real pastor. The raging debate around here, do you or don't you wear a chasuble when you give due communion? But for the chasuble is, in addition to the white gown, sometimes when you do communion, you wear this donut-shaped thing over the top, which is a chasuble. Well, People of Hope, I barely wear a tie. And so it occurred to me that the people coming out of the seminary, even the style of worship we do is like, so I'm beyond.
I need to ask a question, Pastor Gary. You say you were commissioned by the Lutheran Church, right?
Mm-hmm.
What made you choose Rochester, or did the church, or did the, were you commissioned to Rochester? I mean, why did you plant yourselves there?
We were serving a church in Rochester.
Oh, okay.
But that's uncommon for a mission developer to develop a new congregation in a community that they were already serving in a previous church.
You were Lutheran pastors in the Lutheran church there, you mean?
Oh. Right, right. But we took, after we left that other church, we had a year of sabbatical. And then the church commissioned us to start People of Hope. But the way the church does it is the larger church, in cooperation with the local body called the Synod, decides where they're going to plant new churches, and then they commission a pastor developer to do that. And on the basis of projected growth demographics, a new church in Rochester was indicated.
when you say you just have volunteers to run your church, I mean, is that working for you, especially the business end? Don't you definitely need to have some order?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I want to say something about these people that they haven't said themselves, and it's in part an answer to your question. Each one of these people that is here brings gifts because of who they are. But beyond that, each of them, and I can name one for all of them, have brought other gifts. They've brought initiative, creativity, imagination, and said, have you ever thought of this? It might have been just an idea for a sermon. Okay. I see my job in this congregation as preaching the word and then get out of the way, Mary, because the Spirit of God is at work in these people, and my job is not to legislate it. My job is to let that wind of the Spirit, as it talks about in John 3, blow where it will, and it is. I mean, it is neat to get out of the way and let the people of God go forward. And People of Hope have taken this place, this congregation, as you cited, Kirsten, all over Rochester. They've shown up at the women's shelter, and they've shown up at Dorothy Day and Habitat. And they're doing that. That's not us. The order part of it is an incredible gift again. People rearranging their lives so that they can help the business happen. I've wondered if it's not time for us to have some kind of employed staff, and yet I've thought, you know, we wouldn't be maybe any farther, because we would just give somebody jobs that other people are finding to be their calling right now. And we're all in this together, very, very basically.
Almost forgot what I was going to say. I did want to defend the traditional service for a minute. You might think about this, maybe you have, you both very young. Us older people, and I am old, grew up way, well, say 74 years ago, baptized and married and blah, blah, blah. And we loved our music. And to this day, I love it. I love tradition in my church. I mean, it's getting looser, so that we enjoy it more. So I could not join the People of Hope, but I can support you in my heart.
That's exactly my.
It is?
Yes, because
I see what happens.
Because my children are going to a different church because they said my Methodist church was putting them to sleep.
Well, so, I can't say that.
So they have joined another church, and they said, well, Mom, why don't you come with us? So I have gone with them two or three times to their church, and I enjoy their church. But
your stuff.
No, my children were born, baptized, everything in this Methodist church. And my husband, my son, was burial was there. My one daughter was married there. I can't leave my church.
No, I can't.
Yes, yes. And I'm glad that you said that again, because that will be a good segue for Friday, because we're going to be addressing that very thing on Friday.
You have to put your finger up. I did.
Oh, I wanted to address something, but going back to this thing about how few churches, and you know that there aren't very many, and so on. I think there are a lot of pastors, and I'm one of them, very definitely, who have had a taste or an experience, or have been in a parish where we have been given the freedom to develop worship and develop the people of God, and then we go on to a different parish and it's like clamp down city.
Yeah.
And a lot of pastors are under that. They really are. Yes. Before I would just make a plea for your congregations, before you give up on those churches, you know, you have
oftentimes pastors who are alive in the spirit and who really would like to do more, but they cannot do it alone. They need the laity, instead of going always to the church, to say with the pastor, you know, I'd be willing to stand with you on this one.
Yep. Yeah, and that again, broken record here, we're going to be discussing that very thing on Friday too. So I hope many of you can be here on Friday, because we want to talk about how this can happen within your context. We didn't get the second half of your question answered, but let's have a prayer, and then anybody who wants to stay and talk can, but those of you who want to leave can. Would you?
Lord God, your spirit is alive and at work in your church, and for that we give you praise. And for all of us gathered here, that you have gathered here today, show us our calling, Lord. Help us to walk in your footsteps so that we can live in the compassion that you lived in for all people, but especially for those that society tends to put outside. And help us, Lord, to know in what direction you're calling us within our churches, and in what direction you're calling our churches. This is your gift to us, Lord. Make us wise stewards of it. Amen.
Amen.